is the People Show with Bik Nizar and Randeep Janda.
I am the people. Hour three of the People Show. Bik Nizar, Randeep Janda, home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Also, home of the Canadians. If you're Vancouver Canadians, back at the Nat. For tickets or info, visit CanadiansBaseball.com. See you at the Nat. You'll have a chance for tickets. Do we have tickets for Don't At Me today?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Never mind then.
But do have tickets next week for something.
Yep. Turf Trivia will return next week.
Yeah, no Turf Trivia today.
We've got concert tickets next week for Turf Trivia.
Are we allowed to say which concert?
I don't know. Jamie?
Are we embargoed until Monday on that?
I don't know, but let's just heighten the drama, tease it.
Later on in the show, later on in the hour, we will let you know.
How about...
I have no idea.
That's Jamie, basically.
I would say you're more likely to find it on my Spotify than Randeep's. That'll be just a little teaser clue there.
That is it's completely right.
All right. So we're not sure if we can say it. But either way, we have tickets to give away next week. That I think you'll be impressed by and excited for. That's all coming up next week here on The People Show. But Don't At Me is about 20 minutes away. Chris Hebb, about 10 minutes away here on The People Show. Tonight, we did this yesterday. I think I set the line too high. I said over under 2.5 eliminations yesterday. So 3 eliminations. I'll correct myself. I was going to say 1.5 tonight, but I'll just set it at 1. So there could be a push here.
Okay.
Over under eliminations 1 tonight.
Ooh, all right. I think there will be 2. So I'm going to go with the over.
Who's bouncing tonight?
Your boys in Dallas.
My boys. Yep.
And I think Rangers and Pittsburgh will go 7. Washington gets bounced today.
Put up a great fight.
No, they pushed Florida. Yeah. To the brink and really have the Panthers kind of questioning themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Florida, they've kind of found that mojo again. And Calgary, hey man, they opened up the game for a couple of games. They beat them, beat Dallas playing their style. And Jacob Markstrom, he's not getting asked a lot right now. He's not facing that much when it comes to shot quality and that quantity of shots like a Jake Oettinger. Playing damn good hockey, though. He's stopping everything he needs to stop. So I'm going with those two. I say Dallas is going golfing and the Capitals go golfing.
Big shout out to a frequent texter into the show, Kevin and Port Moody, because I feel like 3 weeks ago we were talking about the Capitals and we're like, yeah, I don't know. Capitals, Panthers, we'll see what happens. And Kevin was in the texting box. It's like, they're going to give him a fight. Blah, 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 blah. So big shout out to Kevin. So again, they've pushed the series, been impressive. I'll admit, I'm. Definitely didn't foresee that coming.
And right on brand, Kevin in Port Moody comes in with the text. There is no way the Caps are going down.
There we go.
He's loyal till the end, which potentially could happen today.
All right. We'll see what happens. I'll back my Dallas Stars. I'll say 1 elimination tonight.
Okay. So who's getting eliminated?
Washington.
Washington?
Yeah.
All right.
But I'll say Dallas survives another day. I don't really want to see any eliminations. Actually, I want to see all 3 of these.
The mercy rule for fans. Can we just end that series? Can we just? I know you enjoy it, but Dallas had a good run. Let's just end that series.
I would say then Calgary should rise to the occasion. This series, in theory, for how big and bad Calgary is, should already be over. Because like how bad Dallas is in contrast, but it's not.
I picked Calgary in 6. That's why I also want them to win tonight. So obviously, you want that as well.
I picked Dallas in 7. So. One more game, baby. One more game.
We do have some rivalries from the past playing out in the text inbox. You mentioned Kevin and Pomo. It's been a while since he's, consistently texted in.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Rager have a beef going way back to the Reach Deep days. Rager texts in, Kevin and Pomo still sucks.
Oh, come
on. So there you go. Fighting in the text inbox.
Wipe the slate clean here.
Are they the guys who were planning to meet up at the Church's Chicken on King George?
No, that was Surrey Steve and I forget who. Shiloh and Surrey Steve wanted to fight at the Church's Chicken. Luckily, that did not happen.
All right. Rivalries stay lasting forever, though.
They do. They do. Especially on the Dunbar Lumber text line. And if you come in with that smack talk, that's what Turf Trivia is about as well. I'll probably read it. I was trashing schools yesterday. High schools, man. Come on.
Yeah.
We're all about that. We're all about that neighborhood drama here on The People Show.
I had a few people reach out to me yesterday, be like, "Hey, the golf talk yesterday, fantastic, fantastic."
How a man can be so convinced that he's right, and then be proven wrong in the span of 3 hours? That's what happened to me yesterday.
So good, just so good. All right, but okay. So tonight, it feels like we're both picking Rangers and Penguins to go seven. Is that just the Sidney Crosby effect of it?
I think so.
I feel so bad. It just
not only that. Louis Domingue as well, right? Like, I think Arda made a great point about when you're not winning the middle of the ice, those opportunities, those higher quality scoring chances, they're going to come up more often. And what you're seeing now is clear-cut opportunities on Louis Domingue, where before, you've got an elite center. As we've seen in the LA series with Edmonton, you can deny a lot of that. And Sidney Crosby is the, you know, he's on a lot of people's Rushmore already. But he's an elite grinder for a reason, because he is good defensively. When you lose that from your lineup, you're going to give up pretty prime chances. So that's why I think it's the Crosby aspect. But you got to remember, they've got a third stringer in goal right now. It's never easy when you have that in the playoffs.
I'm just curious what we get from Evgeny Malkin tonight. It feels like he's always good for one just iconic performance in a series.
Yeah.
If he's at his best tonight, is that enough to kind of tip the scales? And look, even without Crosby, it's not as if they're devoid of talent down the middle. Like, Jeff Carter can still give you real minutes. Teddy Bluger is a better defender than I think a lot of people realize, and that's someone who can control the middle of the ice. It's just going to come down to, hey, Malkin, Gensel, Rust, can they give you a performance that just pushes you over the finish line?
Yeah, with Crosby out of the lineup, I believe Cam Robinson tweeted out the stat, but it was, if I'm not mistaken, over 145 career games, he's put up 199 points when Crosby's not in the lineup. That speaks to, he does elevate his game. He can rolls in the shadows when Crosby's there, but he does have that in him. This guy is older. The consistency has not been there, and that's one of the bigger frustrations in Pittsburgh, is that you don't get that Geno Malkin as often as you used to. This is a big moment for him. I'm one of his biggest fans, but I think we can all agree Geno doesn't provide as consistently as he used to before. So I think history tells us he could show up today, could have a big night, could lead them, but he is also playing against Mika Zibanejad, and you know, we've seen Fox also do his thing. We've seen, you know, Zibanejad offensively hasn't been there. Artemi Panarin has. They are starting to gain in confidence on the other side as well, so it's not going to be easy. And I go back to that goaltending situation. You are giving up prime opportunities. It's different, man. It's different when you're lacking that center depth.
Vic Nizar, Randeep Janda. Let's talk to a friend of the show, BCHL Commissioner Chris Hebb. It's been a fantastic playoffs for the BCHL. Gets the final, the Fred Page Cup, gets going this evening at the South Okanagan Event Center. Chris Hebb joining us now. Chris, how are you?
Not too bad, Vic. How are you doing?
We are doing fantastic. Congratulations. I know it's been a trying couple of years for the BCHL, but I imagine this has been a great feather in your cap getting to this stage and getting ready for a big final showdown now.
Yeah, we got a great showdown, too, with a couple of teams who, you know what you can do in the playoffs, Vic, is get really hot. And we've got two teams here. One's 12-1 through the playoffs, and the other's 12-0 through the playoffs. So it should be a great series. And the Nanaimo and Penticton face off tonight, and we're really looking forward to seeing it get settled.
Yeah, that's a great point. You want to see the best in the final, and these two teams have been the best through the playoffs. They are absolutely torching teams. You know, we talk about the season that was. Obviously, coming out of this pandemic, things are opening up a little bit more. Just from a league perspective, how nice has it been to see people in the rink again and just being back to a pretty normal process here?
Well, you know, Deep, we're in 17 communities around the province, and many of them, the team that represents us in the BCHL there is their Canucks. And, you know, for them to not be able to go out and see their team, it's obviously created a real vacuum for entertainment in most of those markets. So just to be able to get out there and see hockey at this level, you know, I mean, this is really good hockey. It's caused all of us to feel great for the fans, also great for the players and the coaches, because, you know, this is what they're born to do. And to have a pandemic interrupt that process, especially the development of these 16 to 20-year-olds, it was a real tough thing to get through. But the reward is we got a season in this year, and that's what we were all hoping for.
What stood out to you throughout these playoffs in your travels? Outside of these two teams, Nanaimo and Penticton, getting ready for the finals here, you travel to all these rinks throughout the playoffs. So what's impressed you? What stood out, whether it be the fans, teams, or players? What stood out to you?
Well, I got out to a couple of the Langley games, and that's kind of in my neighborhood. And, you know, just seeing a small community rink really light up, you know, and to have the fans there in a position where they actually get to support the home team, and in some cases give everybody on the other team what for. And unfortunately, sometimes at referees too. It's just great to see the spirit that that hockey develops as the series goes on. And you know, if this one gets to seven games, it's just going to be wild, because you'll have, you know, a really good rink in Nanaimo and a really good rink in Penticton, and they'll be rocking.
Absolutely, and that's something that I think everybody wants here. When you're watching these games, of course, Nanaimo and Penticton going at it. You know, especially with both of these teams, they've got a rich history as well. Safe to say that two of these teams are kind of, in a lot of ways, the standard bearers of the league as well, where Penticton's got that culture where they've been cranking out not only, you know, great athletes, academics, but on top of that, you know, NHL players as well. There's some guys that we can watch in the NHL. Safe to say both of these franchises have kind of led the way over the last few years.
Yeah, they've been at the top of the heap for many years now. And you know, there's lots of our other top teams that I think add to that list as well. But having two teams with this rich a history in the BCHL is a dream come true. Having the island represented and also having the interior represented is it just showcases the fact that this is the BCHL. It really is hockey for the entire province.
Chris, not that you would ever pick favorites of who you wanted to see, but the stories for this for this playoff, it is dripping just because it's 12-1, 12-0. You must be looking at this like, man, we really got two juggernauts here in the finals, and this is kind of what you want to see in the finals.
Well, it's crazy too, because the goaltenders are really starring, and that's what we all know happens in hockey, is the playoff performer generally is the goaltender who makes the difference. And you know, these two goalies, Caden Lane in Penticton and Cooper Black in Nanaimo, I mean, you know, one's got a 939 save percentage, the other's got a 953 save percentage, and they both have 1.54 goals against. So, and these are big goaltenders. So you go out to a game and you watch the warm-up, it's hard for the guys to get a puck by them in warm-ups, let alone during a game. So I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup. And then there's also the skilled players like Sean Donaldson and Nanaimo, who he's an MVP finalist and he's got 19 points in 12 games. He's the kind of guy that that Nanaimo is going to rely on. And Penticton also has some really good young guys too, who have generated some points, including the Nadeau brothers. So, you know, it's just one of those matchups that you hope for.
The last time both of these teams met up was in the finals in 2015, and Penticton won in six games. Fair to say, I know you're not picking sides here, but you want this to go seven, don't you?
I want there to be really good hockey, and I want the kids to be safe. And after that, I'm going to let the fans decide exactly how long they want the series to go and who they want to win.
That's the dad answer right there. Well done.
Well done.
Before we let you go, it's not just about what happens on the ice as well for the BCHL. End of season for a lot of teams. You know, players move on, graduate from the league. Where it stands right now, last I saw, I feel like it was like 150, 160 college commits this season. What does that mean to you?
Before COVID, we got to 192 in the 2018-19 season. And we're going to be pretty close to that this year. You got to wait until all the commitments finish up, mm-hmm. You know, throughout the spring and summer. But we're right back where we were. Literally half of the league is getting college commitments, which, I mean, there's very little that competes with the BCHL when it comes to college tracking hockey.
Chris, we appreciate your time and congratulations on a great season and really excited to what happens here in the finals. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Keep an eye on it, guys. You'll like it.
Absolutely. Chris Head, BCHL commissioner, joining us here on the People's Show. I managed to stop by round one.
Yeah.
My Coquitlam Express in my hood.
So Chris mentioned going to Langley. I was going to go to Langley, but the problem is I was hoping for, you know, game five or six. I think it would have been game six. They swept Langley in four. Yeah. I didn't have a chance. So my hesitation did not allow me to go watch the Nanaimo Clippers play the Langley Rivermen. So congratulations to both of the teams. It's been, you know, you were out in Coquitlam watching the playoff action. But it's just nice to see, A, hockey being played with crowds. B, community supporting local hockey as well. We're seeing that at the WHL level. We saw that at the AHL level with Abbotsford Canucks and the BCHL level as well, because you talked about college commits and university commits. There's a lot of players that also, you know, make it to the big league. So there's a lot of really cool, enticing stories, really awesome community hockey stories that are going on in the BCHL as well.
Absolutely. Bick Nizar and Randeep Jand, a couple of minutes away from Don't At Me. Get those submissions in. Gapri text in. Hey, guys, heads up for the Iran-Canada match that was announced for July.
No, June 5th.
Sorry, June. Lower Bowl's already sold out. Let the people know.
All right, thank you.
So there you go.
Good belief coming in with that text. Appreciate that. I got to act, man. Got to be at that game if you're in the town. You got to go watch it. That's a pre-World Cup tune-up, but that's going to be against a World Cup team. No disrespect to Curaçao, but we know how that fixture should go. Iran-Canada, that's a first test of, all right, top 25 team in the world, how do you play against them?
They 21?
They're currently 21.
Yeah. That's a strong opponent, man.
Yep.
It's not going to be an easy match. But that's what you want, to try to get the team cohesion down, teamwork, and you want to test yourselves outside of CONCACAF.
Top team, one of the top teams coming out of Asia. And remember, Korea, Japan, Iran are really strong teams historically coming out of the Asian Conference. So that's going to be a good one. So if you haven't got your tickets, thank you for the reminder, Goodbleed.
Oh, man, we got a strong Don't At Me. I'm going to read this one, this Don't At Me, before Don't At Me, because it's kind of a challenge to the listeners. Don't At Me. Confession Fridays has an expiry date. So many textures are repeat listeners. You got maybe five or six more strong Fridays. That's a strong take.
No,
so
I don't think that.
I feel like that's a challenge to the listeners. Hey, send in more, by the way.
This has occurred to me, right, that, you know, if everyone unloads, like, then are we going to have diminishing returns? But I think there's plenty of our listeners who are doing new confession-worthy things all the time.
And
I think it's a renewable resource.
I'm not letting out state secrets here, but if you look at, you know, we have access to look at numbers texting in.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different numbers texting in. There's actually a lot of different.
It's true. We do get them from regulars, but we get some numbers we don't recognize, too.
Yeah.
So even though we don't...
And some names we don't recognize as well.
Exactly. And we can't say the names, so that's why the listener doesn't know who's coming in with these texts. But I can guarantee you, there are definitely some very different numbers. They're not repeat textures, all of that.
But you know what? Good thought on the Don't At Me.
Sounds like a challenge.
And we'll do Confession Friday more on the other side. We'll drop some more thoughts. But let's get to it. Another edition of Don't At Me.
Your takes uninterrupted. Don't At Me. Text in your submissions to 650-650.
Don't at me. I said, what I said.
Brought to you by LeaseBusters. Get out of your vehicle lease with ease, confidence, and a LeaseBusters leasing specialist to guide you through the journey. Go to leasebusters.com to start the process today. Don't at me. That was the last chance James Harden had to win a championship as a premier guy on a team.
He went
out with a whimper in a big way.
Yeah, and Joel Embiid is kind of calling him out, calling out the Sixers.
He already threw him under the bus.
Yeah, it's
he wasted no time to throw him under the bus.
Has there ever been a less consequential, like, blockbuster trade than Harden for Simmons?
That's a lose-lose for both
of them. Yeah.
Like, and not even like, oh, after 3 years, maybe it just didn't work out. It was a lose-lose fast.
It's like, oh, yeah, no, didn't change anything for either team.
At least with Brooklyn, you can say, all right, maybe when he's healthy, he can be something.
And his focus on it. Like, and look, I don't entirely know what he's going through. Sure. It might be bigger than just a back injury.
Apparently, there's you know, mental element to it as well, which is something that, you know, is real, right? But from the 76ers side, like, you saw what James Harden's about. You saw where he currently is at. It ain't good. Who has the higher chance? Great, don't at me, by the way. Who has a greater chance of making a comeback in the NBA and being relevant? Russell Westbrook or James Harden?
Oh, Russell Westbrook.
No, for me, it's Harden.
See?
It's Westbrook
I'm with
has
you
been more relevant for longer than Harden has.
I'm going Harden on that, too.
But look, I don't... Hold on. I don't think this is going to happen, but if Harden, like, really committed, hit the gym hard, got in shape, and adapted his style to playing with Embiid, there's a world that exists where he could be a really effective second banana. Russell Westbrook can't shoot. He can't shoot, and he's not good enough to be the lead guard on a contending team. So there's no role for him on a contending team.
He's so athletically gifted, though.
But he's always been
that. No, I know. Like, his slide, athletically, is going to be very slow. And there could come to a point where he's just now the guy off the bench. And if you're a guy, you just need, hey, supernova, get us 13, 14 points, kind of be the... explosive Lou Williams.
Or he could
if
be like
just be that guy on a team, that's less value.
Could he be like Iguodala found his niche later on more as a defensive guy, but could he...
Well, he's going to have that. He's not going
to
be that guy.
No, could he have a renaissance? Maybe to the Lou Williams thing. Could he be relevant, sixth man? I still go James Harden. I think the natural score, the fact that he can hit shots. Remember Jason Kidd?
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
Remember Jason Kidd in the later half of his career when he was playing for what, the Knicks and all that? The guy developed a three-point game.
The Mavs.
Yeah. And the Mavs. He was relevant because he could shoot.
To your point about changing roles, can he be a guy who hits spot up threes and does like secondary playmaking? You know what I mean? You know, maybe plays with bench units as well to float them when Embiid's resting. I still think there's a role there.
I wouldn't bet on it. I watched part of that game.
No.
Miami was not fearing James Harden at all.
I wouldn't bet on it, but I think it's more likely than Westbrook playing a role for a winning team again.
All right. Don't at me. A great one, by the way. Yeah. Excellent don't at me coming in. That was you, actually, right?
Yes.
Okay. Me. Good job, Vic. We can say it to each other. Don't at me. The Leafs lost their chance to win this series. Tampa and their championship experience is going to take over in Game 7. The best chance the Leafs had to win was in Tampa. Pressure, and I think putting respect on the Tampa Bay Lightning, being there in that moment before, in high-stress situations, men versus boys this weekend.
You know who it's all on? It's all on Andre Vasilevskiy. Look, you haven't been as good as you should be this series. But if you get it right once, and that once is in Game 7, all's forgiven.
But last night in the overtime was a sample of that. High-stress situation, yeah. Who comes up? Vasilevskiy, right? Yeah. So he's shown it in spurts. He just hasn't shown it in the entirety. I still have faith in him because in those high-stress moments, he can deliver.
This one, Minor Matt. It's not a don't at me. I'm going to make it one. I've enjoyed the Stars Flame series so far. Although it has reminded me of the dead puck era, I guess I'm a sucker for cruel and unusual punishment.
You and Bick, both.
Let's go. This one. Don't at me. Keith Kachuk has put on a few pounds. Hints takes over tonight.
How are those related?
Two unrelated thoughts.
Unless you mean Matthew Kachuk, or no, but
no,
Matthew hasn't put on pounds. Very. Very interesting thought.
Yeah, we'll read it.
If we had a prize, we would not give it to that text. I can guarantee that much. Torgy coming in with this one. Don't at me. Pineapple on pizza is a must. It's a must topping.
Absolutely.
No.
Really? You're not a pineapple guy?
Take the fruit off my pizza.
Take the fruit
off. Don't want fruit on my pizza. The veggie special at Supreme comes with pineapple. Always tell them to take it off.
Wow. All right. It's a bad take.
It's a great take.
I just lost it here, but it was something about Minnesota greasing the wheels for their exit.
Yeah, hold on here.
Okay.
Is it the one about the trade between the Canucks and...
Yeah.
Wild? Yeah.
Oh, here I got it. Oh, it's Omar the bus driver. Minnesota's first round exit greatly increases our chance for a good return on a Besser trade. Sorry, it was a Besser trade. Yeah.
Because there's another one about a Miller trade.
Oh, okay.
From Dave in Vancouver. Don't at me, but the Vancouver Canucks will make a blockbuster deal at the NHL draft. The Canucks will trade pick number 15 to the Minnesota Wild, as well as JT Miller for Kevin Fiala and next year's second round pick. I know it's don't at me. I think you might be overvaluing a pending RFA in Kevin Fiala there a little bit.
The right to pay a guy for 15th
overall. 15th overall and a guy who scored 99 points this year.
I could see. Yeah. Thank you, Yannick. It's don't at me. We can't go at the guy. That's definitely his trade offer. This one, unsigned text. No, actually, Rager's coming in with this one. Don't at me. The Yankees will be the Buffalo Sabres of Major League Baseball this year. Strong start, but will miss the playoffs. How dare you?
Too late. They already hung the best record in the league on May 11th banner.
How dare you? I can't at
already
Rager
doing
on this.
A victory lap.
You focus on your Blue Jays, Jamie. You focus on maybe if they can hit a baseball again.
What would Lou Gehrig have to say about this display, Randeep? What are we doing? Can you stop being so reckless? That's so irresponsible. What would Lou...
Don't.
The team is winning. Don't at me. No fruit on pizza. Yes, I understand tomatoes are fruit, but we're not talking about... We all acknowledge it's essentially a vegetable, all right?
Don't at me, but the Canucks will make the playoffs next year after a little bit of changes that are most likely going to get done in the offseason, and you're going to do something in the playoffs as well. Mike and Victoria.
Okay.
Oh, Brian and Coquitlam, don't at me. Come Monday morning, all Canadian teams will be eliminated.
Watch out, Canada. I'm on my way.
Incredible. How did you have that one ready? That's incredible.
There is a correlation of Simon Cowell coming to Canada for Canada's Got Talent and this doomsday scenario.
Why do you even have that? That's a promo for Canada's Got Talent on City TV.
That is the greatness of one Chris Faber. He's always ready.
That was an unreal pull. Woo. This one. I think this one's from Gary in Vancouver because he always drops the weird emojis.
Okay.
Don't at me. More than 3/4 of those confessions are fake and just Muppets trying to outdo each other.
You know what? If this is Gary, Gary sounds a little jealous. Come on, Gary. We all got confessions. Come with yours, too. Join the movement that is Confession Friday. Torgy coming in with this one. Don't at me. Vasilevsky is back. Toronto scores one goal tops tomorrow.
This one, don't at me. Jack Campbell, 30-save shutout. And Toronto wins 2-0 on a pair of Tavares goals. I don't want them to win, but they will win. So different thoughts.
Okay. There goes back to the I don't want them to win. But I got to respect their game.
What's this one? Bring your own. Don't at me. Oh! So they did 7:11, not 7-11. Bring your. I thought it was like, well, who brings their own. Okay. Bring your own container day at 7-11 is more satisfying than the draft lottery.
Really? Is that a thing?
On 7-11, I mean, that used to be a thing. I don't know if it still is.
Honestly, is that a thing? I have no idea.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So back in the day, on 7-11, the month and the day,
okay,
it'd be July 11th.
Yes.
Yep.
You could bring whatever you want to get a Slurpee.
Ah.
Whatever container you wanted. So, like, I've seen, not seen personally, but, like, pictures. People bring, like the kiddie pools.
Sure.
And just, like, just load up a Slurpee that way.
That is... I knew, okay, the 7-11 day, and you go get a Slurpee and all that. But that, no.
Yeah, it kiddie actually pool? Changed. So the first year was like that. There was kiddie pools.
Yeah.
There was people were bringing bathtubs, toilets, whatever you want.
Favors coming.
Sorry,
in.
Did you say here? Favor.
Whatever you want.
This is a big thing in Nanaimo.
The second, it was. Right on the corner of Bruce and 7th. The 7-11 there, I saw some weird things coming up. That was, I was in Harewood. But the second year they made it that you had to, it had to fit through like this strange circle. Like, so
right.
It, like, so they learned very quickly in year one that you can buy a kiddie pool for like $6 at the dollar store right beside 7-Eleven, and everybody was getting kiddie pools full of Slurpees, which was unreal for the first year, but they made a quick change for year two on that. So now it's got to fit through like a certain like hole in a cardboard wall or something.
Speaking of which, don't at me, Slurpees better on a cold day than a hot day. Because
I'll explain
to you why. Because what happens on a hot day, everyone wants to go get it, and you don't get the same consistency from the machine. And so if you just go after like 40 other people, it's just like a watery mess. But if you get it on like a tepid day, like a 14-degree day, you're going to get a immaculate Slurpee.
Bix right on this. Because, no. A, you got the lineups. Everybody's there. It's all, like, watery. It's not
how
good.
How busy are 7-Elevens in your guys' neighborhoods?
Joyce and Kingsway, where I grew up in that neighborhood.
Lansdowne and Guilford, man.
Dude, that was a hot.
It's bumping.
I've never, even in, like, high school, I never had to wait in line at a 7-Eleven for a Slurpee.
That's that West of Main life right there.
Yeah, man.
I'll have you know, I live East of Main.
Hey, back in the day, back on the North Shore where this guy grew up, they delivered Slurpees to your house.
Again, if this has never been a problem in your life, then you probably don't understand. But on a warm day, on a hot day, everyone like rushing.
Oh yeah, it'd be a lineup.
Day.
It'd be a mess, man. It'd be like a. It feel like it felt like there were lids one place. There was cups all over the ground. It was disgusting.
Someone's adding you, Faber. The 7-Eleven was on the corner of Bruce and 5th.
Yeah, well, it's been a couple of years since I've been there. You should see what they've done to that whole Harewood area. They changed it all up. They got high rises in Nanaimo all of a sudden.
That's the most angry I've ever heard Faber, right?
Somebody stepping to Faber on his Nanaimo talk.
There are some Confession Fridays coming on this Nanaimo 7-Eleven.
Oh, this is, yeah. This doesn't surprise me, actually.
I had a guy pull a gun on me on that 7-Eleven in the parking lot.
This is my path from, like, walking home every day from school, because I went to Harewood Elementary, and this is what I walked by every day.
All right.
I want to read this.
Okay, what has seen more weird moments, that 7-Eleven or the one in Joyce and Kingsway? Because that's a rough one, too, man. Have you ever been to that one?
Can't,
no.
I can't speak
no?
on
okay,
it.
That's,
can't
that's,
speak on
that's
that
a Vancouver one.
I'm kind of like the TLC waterfalls when it comes to 7-Elevens. I stick to the lakes and the oceans that I'm used to.
Okay. Fair enough. Probably a good way to go.
I want
to
read this one. Don't at me. Whoever said the confessions are fake has lived an uneventful, boring life. Get out of the house.
Let's go.
And do some things you can confess. And I will say, yeah, please.
Yeah.
We need a constantly refreshing supply of confessions for this.
Folks, you only live once.
Your sins are our content.
Next time you're deciding whether or not to do something, just think, this would make great content for Confession Friday.
Will this please Randeep, Jamie, and Bick? That's the thought that should be going through your head.
Oh, this one. Dude, soda is better than a Slurpee.
Damn right.
Don't at me.
I didn't send that one in. I didn't touch my phone during that entire process.
Rager, this feels like it's about to turn into best Slurpee flavor talk, which is sour green apple.
No.
Green apple.
No.
I'm a straight Coca-Cola.
You're a Coca-Cola?
I'm sure.
You'll be shocked by this one. Cream soda on the bottom,
yeah.
Coke on the top. Halfers. I go halfers.
I like to do the mix. Yeah. Just like throw a little bit of everything
in
there.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
Two things for me.
So I imagine you're a big all-dressed guy, too?
Anything, like, I don't even know what the flavor is, but just like blue.
You know what I mean?
Just like blue flavor.
So you're that kid that somebody would ask, what's your favorite flavor, and you'd say, blue. Blue is my favorite flavor.
Jamie, colors don't have a taste. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
That is such a Ralph Wiggum answer.
At 7-Eleven, they do.
That is such a Ralph Wiggum answer.
Know. You guys all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, yes. We agree. It's just funny, though. We can still rip into you. All right, 650. On the other side, Confession Fridays. We'll wrap it up because we got so many throughout the course of the first installment. We'll try to wrap it up. Plus, someone else texted in. Talk hockey. Yeah, more on the way. Wrapping up the show. By the way, Bruce Boudreau coming back for next season. He will meet with media at 5 o'clock. He'll also join Canucks Central at 5:30. Yannick Hansen coming up on Canucks Central as well. So plenty on the way here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Watch out, Canada.
Is the People's Show with Bick Nizar and Randy Janda.
Final segment of the People's Show. We'll turn it over to Canuck Central in just a moment. Bruce Boudreau will join them. He's also talking to media at 5 o'clock later this evening, Friday night. Bruce didn't have better things to do at Friday at 5 o'clock.
It's Hershey, Pennsylvania, though.
Oh, it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's known for being a chocolate factory in that town. Other than that, I don't know if Hershey, Pennsylvania has anything else.
That's fair. Well, he'll be meeting with Vancouver media later this evening and with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Obviously, big news. He's coming back 1 year.
Yep.
At the very least.
According to Pierre LeBrun, $2.5 million.
Yeah.
The price tag on that, 1 year. And I think the important thing when it comes to this announcement today is all that doubt, all that speculation can end now. Where you know what is happening on the coaching front. There's not going to be picking apart quotes from Jim Rutherford or picking apart quotes from Bruce Boudreau. Is the media being leveraged in this talk? None of that's going to happen anymore. You can focus now on moving ahead. And really, more than anything, it's a good situation for the team. You're in a position where you can see what this coach is going to bring. You can see if he can make the needed changes, structure, zone exits was something that was referenced in the end of season press conference. And you can kind of play it by ear. If there are improvements, guess what? You have a conversation for an extension. If it falls short, you haven't tied yourself down. You've got flexibility. So I think from a team perspective, Vic, excellent news from Bruce Boudreau. It tells you something that he said this is a spot. He's got a special relationship with the players. And also for him, you know, he's up to the challenge. He didn't take it as disrespect.
Yeah.
He's coming back and saying, all right, I'll show you.
It's Yeah, not even just combatively, but like, oh, I'll show you.
It's no,
just,
but it's more, hey, yeah, I can do this.
I'm willing to accept the challenge, right? And I think that's part of this, too, is everyone's going to have to figure out how to collaborate all over again. And there's going to be that element to, you know, 57 games was really just crisis mode. How do you salvage whatever is left of the season? How do we learn something from the season? Because the opening 25 games was so grim. Even in negative seasons, you have to be able to try to take some positives. Who made growth? Like last year, the year before, the Canadian division season. Like at the end of the year, we still said, okay, Nils Höglander did this. Brock Besser did this. Boy, Thatcher Demko looked fantastic. There were still positives you can take out of a very difficult season. Last season, this past year, you know, the 57-game run, thankfully, they got something positive to say, hey, we actually made something of the season, and we can start to discern, okay, what path we need to go down. And this group now has to work together to start moving forward to say, okay, this is what we think we have. This is what we think we can do. And no animosity here. Let's all work together to figure this out all over again. And, you know, the point I was making at the start of the show, it's, you know, this should be a message. In a way, you know, Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin kind of got their way. And it should be a message to everyone. It's like they're going to get their way kind of often here. And now it's a responsibility on everyone to kind of do their job. It doesn't mean you're not going to get rewarded down the road, but you got to do your job.
Is there a risk in drawing a line in the sand, so to speak? Of course there is, right? If the person in front of you says, hey, man, I take that personally, I'm walking away, you do have the opportunity where players who had bought into Bruce Boudreau obviously loved what he was doing. We heard, you know, a few players mention at the end of season pressers as well. We hope to have him back. Hopefully, you know, he's meant a lot to them personally. But there isn't a bit of a risk to say, hey, man, this is where we stand. And if you don't want to come back under these circumstances, well, you probably won't be coming back. But the fact is, you have a reasonable person on the other side saying, no, this is a spot for me that works. This is a team currently constructed. Are there flaws? Damn right there are. They didn't make the playoffs. But the way that it's currently constructed with improvements, you can be fighting for a playoff spot. So I think it takes a pretty unique person on the other side of that conversation to say, all right, I understand the challenge ahead. I understand you haven't given me an extension, and some people might take it personally. But it does show you that when you're talking about running an organization, these are some tough conversations you have to have. Mm-hmm. These are difficult conversations you have to have when you're trying to steer the ship. And the fact that the Canucks are having these and going down this road, having those uncomfortable conversations, at times, other coaches might perceive as disrespect. And, hey, maybe Bruce Boudreau does too. We don't know, but he's coming back is the point. That's important because you're saying things are going to happen under conditions. We're not going to give you things. You have to earn it. That's a very important mentality to have.
A lot of things are kind of just bare right now for the Vancouver Canucks. And I don't just mean that things are empty. Kind of like exposed. And that's kind of what you want in a caretaker situation where in this 56-game sample, you know, this new regime comes in. You still have to understand, like, where you are. And they've let everything kind of sit there and be honest about it. And, look, Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin were very honest at their end-of-season press conference about, you know, where they think this franchise is right now and some of the jobs and the performances of some people. And, like, everything's just kind of sitting there on the surface, as transparent as we've seen in recent memory from the Vancouver Canucks. And this announcement today is kind of just more in line with that. We'll see what Bruce Boudreau says later today as well.
Yeah, and, you know, we did hear from him via Rob Simpson's piece. We did hear directly from Jim Rutherford as well. And Tyler from the Island coming in with this. Rutherford said he was bringing him back, and he did. It was only the media that blew it out of proportion with hearsay and rumors. On the Rutherford comment, he said, we want him back. And he knows that. That was a direct quote that Rutherford used on that day. So, yeah, they did say they want him back, but he also said there would not be an extension. So there is room for, and the fact that Jim Rutherford mentioned June 1st on top of that, it gave you a clear deadline. So to say this is all media created, I don't buy that. Are there speculation once you have those, you know, quotes come out? Of course there are. That's going to happen. But I don't think this was necessarily created by the media. Jim Rutherford put everything on the table saying, hey, this is where we stand, and currently we don't have an agreement.
The official quote was, he knows we want him back. He was told before the season was over. He knows our position.
Yes.
And the position is the conclusion that we see today. Bick Nizar and Randy Janda here. All right. We appreciate all your efforts into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox because there were plenty. Let's do a final edition here on Friday of Confession Fridays.
Join the movement that is Confession Friday.
I know you hate me. I know I hurt you. But there's more. Listen.
People in the butts.
He should have been playing in the minors.
Sports. Some weird things going down the toilet.
These are my confessions.
Woo! Oh, man. Like,
it hits different the second time.
It's like a classic musical piece. I don't know what it is. Like, you know, every era has its song. I think that might be this era's song. Beautiful.
All right. Look, it can be sports. It can be anything. But if there's something you want to get off your chest here, now is the time. Confession Fridays. I think the Canucks made a massive mistake taking Danila Klimovic over Logan Stankoven.
Probably a pretty popular one.
Okay, but is that a confession or is that an opinion?
That's fair.
I'm sorry, we're not supposed to judge you, but the idea is Confession Fridays. I think you got Confession Friday and Don't At Me confused there, Texter.
By the way, Game 5 tonight on our airwaves, Kamloops and the Giants.
Great
game
job.
Five tonight.
Great job promoting that. Perfect timing. We got this one coming in. Confession Friday. 7-Eleven related. My first bachelor pad had three different 7-Eleven rugs. They'd leave them outside when they were cleaning the floors, and I'd roll them up and go, and obviously intoxicated every single time. So this texter would steal 7-Eleven rugs every time the poor staff would be cleaning the floors.
It's such a wild thing to do once, but then to make a habit out of it. Oh, sweet, another 7-Eleven rug. Let's go! My time to shine!
It's a wild bachelor party, I tell you that.
Not bachelor party, bachelor pad. Like his apartment, he took him back to his apartment.
I thought it was a bachelor party.
No, this was, hey.
That's even worse.
Coming into my bachelor pad where I rep 7-Eleven.
I liked this one. Confession Friday, I pulled a Costanza and lied in my job interview. Now I make 100K at a job I have no idea how to do, and my boss loves me. I mean, I appreciate it. I respect the finesse.
Well done.
How do you think I got this job?
Confession Fridays. I always park in the family parking spot. That's a dark one.
That is. This one is also a dark one. Confession Friday. I'm going to ask my wife to call me Bruce tonight.
Wow, that's... All right.
Hey.
Bruce, there it is, I guess.
Hey, you're celebrating the I wasn't going to say extension, but in this case it could be. Let's just not go there.
There's something about Bruce.
So perfectly said.
This one starts a little dark, but I think it has a happy ending.
Okay.
So it started to intensify. My friends and I were standing in front of London Drugs. People were breaking the doors in. My one friend looked at me and said, "We could go get some good camera equipment for free." We started walking towards the door. Thankfully, his girlfriend grabbed us both by the jackets and led us away. Shout out to your friend's girlfriend for doing the right thing in that situation.
That's, well done.
As I said, started dark, but a good ending.
Yeah, I didn't know where you're going with that one.
I'm glad that one ended well.
We got one texter. This is not a confession, but I guess it is. Confession Friday. I could write a book of confessions.
Yeah, so the earlier texter.
Yes, that's a confession. Yeah. Tells you.
Should I read the movie theater one?
Yes, you 100% should.
All right. Confession Friday. I really had to go pee during a movie in a crowded theater, and I didn't want to make everyone in the aisle get up. So I went in the empty soda cup. Plot twist? Doing it in a large empty soda cup is way louder than you would think. So many heads turned. Confession Friday. Don't do that.
That one speaks for itself.
Yeah.
This one, very short and very concise. Confession. I actually loved Kess's house.
Good content.
Confession Fridays. I flip the bird to yellow lights as I drive through them.
What? What?
Excuse me?
What? Why?
I am the people.
Hey, that wasn't me. That might be one of the most random things we've ever received on this text.
Is that
box.
Like in case you get caught by like a
red light camera?
A camera and you're just preemptively upset.
I beat
them.
It.
Right.
Man. We're not judging, but that
catch
one
me
is
riding
one.
Dirty.
we got this one. Confession Friday. I want Toronto to lose tomorrow almost more than I want the Canucks to trade and reap assets before the draft. Yes, I know that makes me a sad, petty, bitter individual.
It's fine. That's what we're here for.
I want to see the demise of others before the long-term future of your team. Confession Friday. Share your thoughts.
Confession Friday. I secretly cheer for the team that beats my team in the playoffs. Because if your team is going to lose, they might as well lose to the champion. Which is what happened to the Canucks.
However you justify it, I guess that works.
Okay, just don't worry, guys. I'm gonna do some light editing on this one to make it all right.
I'm still worried. I'm still very worried.
Trust my judgment. Confession Friday. All right, I've been holding on to this one. There was a whole series of unfortunate events last weekend, but it ended with my best friend's mom driving me home from the local Dairy Queen. Tracy, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We can put the puzzle pieces together in our heads for that one.
I don't even know how to follow that. Don't even know how to do that.
All right. Oh, you know what? We got to do this one. This one, Confession Friday. I drive and text. Don't do it. Smarten up. Don't do it.
Don't do that.
If you're actually breaking the law in any of these, we're going to call you on that. Yeah, we will judge you. Do not do that.
It actually drives me nuts when I'm on the road and see people looking at their phone. Put it away.
Don't do that.
Extremely selfish act that puts other people in harm. We have fun in, you know, games and jokes and Confession Friday, but we draw the line there.
This one, draft dodging part two. Oh, we already got one from earlier. Someone said they dodged the Singapore draft. I chewed gum in Singapore too, which is banned. They're banned because everyone lives in high rises and people would put gum on elevator buttons.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but nevertheless.
Singapore is very strict with their cleanliness, so.
But, like, that's the thing everyone goes to when they think about Singapore. It's like, oh, chewing gum.
Yeah. Well, there was a big story about that in the 90s, wasn't there?
Yeah. My dad references it to this day. Hey, if you go to Singapore and spit out gum, they'll kick your ass.
What was it? You get hit with a cane or something
like
that?
Yeah, exactly.
Was that an actual story or was that, like, an urban myth?
I'd have to go back and look at it, but I think there was some basis to it, yeah.
There was legality.
I don't think it was just a pure urban legend.
I've been to Singapore. It was an awesome place.
You didn't get your ass beat. That's nice. Yeah. That's very good. No, we got this text, Confession Friday. Texter says they're from East Van, but I really live in Point Grey. That's a confession, sure.
I want you guys to confess. Do you guys check back to see who the confessors are? Well, some people sign their text.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, if you sign your text, we're not saying your name, but if you sign your text, we are so... I was going to say judging you. No, we're keeping an eye on who's sending this in.
No, we're just putting it into the mental file.
Yeah. Our mental file cabinet.
All right. Another great edition of Confessions Friday. Can't wait to do it next Friday. We'll break it out again. It's becoming the best segment in Vancouver radio.
We're going to keep on doing it until somebody somebody says you can't.
If you want a confession, we have not cleared this with anyone. There's our confession. It just started?
It started in the middle of a show.
None of the higher-ups know about this, and we're just doing it. It's the last thing we need right now. All right. Bruce Boudreau on the way with Canuck Central. He'll come up at 5:30. Yannick Hansen as well. And Rob Simpson all coming up here on Canuck Central with Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.